Pleasure to bring in Jesse Agler. Of course, he is the play-by-play voice, along with Tony Gwynn Jr. of the San Diego Padres. Jess, how are you?
Good, Marty. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, pleasure. Well, the first two games certainly have been all Padres, and I want to go back to Thursday night for a second. In the pregame, the Padres Hall of Fame has two new members. One is Larry Lucchino, who is the instrumental in putting the ballpark together. Beautiful, beautiful park. And the other one is Ted Leitner, Uncle Teddy, who is a voice of the Padres for, what, over 40 years. Tell me about those two. And I thought it was a beautiful ceremony. I got to hear it on your broadcast because I wanted to listen to the speeches.
Very nice. Thanks for bringing that up. And yeah, Teddy, I'll start there because, you know, I spent several years next to him in the radio booth, and he did 41 seasons behind the microphone, which is just an incredible accomplishment for any number of reasons. And he's a San Diego institution, a legend, and now immortalized, you know, as a Padre Hall of Famer. So that was wonderful to be able to celebrate Teddy and everything that he's done here and everything that he means to so many people. And he's an icon. There's really nothing else you have to say about it. And Larry Lucchino, like you said, you know, during his time in the late 90s here, politicking hard and fighting hard to get Petco Park built. I don't think it's any stretch at all to say that without Larry Lucchino, there is no Petco Park. And if there's no Petco Park, there's probably no San Diego Padres. I don't think this team would still be in San Diego had they not been able to push that through and get this thing built. It opened, of course, in 2004 after all kinds of delays and lawsuits and that sort of thing. So two just critically important people in the history and the story of this franchise. So it was very fun to celebrate them, certainly, and well-deserved for both.
Well, to see some of the pictures of the ballpark being built, it reminded me of AT&T Park, Pac Bell Park, whatever it was called back then, because there was nothing around it. You had the Western Metal Supply Company building, and here comes the ballpark being built, but nothing. And then you look at today around the ballpark, it's incredible. It's sort of like what's happened with the Giants.
There's no doubt about it, and it happened before that in Baltimore. Larry Lucchino was there when they built Camden Yards, and that was sort of, you know, that's kind of Petco Park's big brother, I think it's fair to say, in Baltimore. And you know, I think Larry's experience there, you think about the B&O warehouse in right field in Baltimore, Western Metal building here in left field, you know, he learned a lot of lessons going through that project. Not only in terms of how to get it done, but also what to do. And he applied many of those lessons here in San Diego. So there's no question, you know, it's been not just a ballpark, but as they hoped and honestly promised back then, it's become something of an urban redevelopment project as well.
Very nice. I was glad to be able to hear it. You guys did a nice job with it. Very nice. Ted Leitner and Larry Lucchino in the Padres Hall of Fame. Well, you guys came off a tough road trip. I want to talk about the Dodgers series and get your take on it. But 2-4. And then you're getting well here with the Giants, beating them 6-8 now. Let's talk about the Dodger four-game series. What happened there?
I you know, it's funny, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to the first-place team in the West, but I don't think it had much to do with the Dodgers. It was just kind of, you know, what the Padres were dealing with internally and offensively at that point. You know, Manny was trying to come back from the ankle injury. He was not anywhere near full strength. I think he's probably a little bit closer now than he was then. Obviously, he's homered the first two games of this series. But, you know, they're just in as bad of a slump offensively as they've been at any point this season. You know, you had a couple of home run moments for the Dodgers. Darvish giving up three in the first inning was kind of weird. Turner had a couple of home runs earlier in the series as well. Justin Turner, that is. And you know, it was just one of those things. So I really think it was more about the Padres than it was about the Dodgers. And then, you know, they came home and struggled against Seattle, which maybe proves my point that it wasn't really the Dodgers. It was the Padres' own issues. They got swept two straight by the Mariners. They had a much-needed day off before this series began on Wednesday. And I wouldn't say they've gotten right in the last 2 days against the Giants, although yesterday was certainly much more of what they want to see. They just haven't been hitting much lately. And obviously Manny being down a little bit physically has not helped, although he's coming back around. And they're just looking for other guys to step up. Last night, you know, Mazzara came up with a couple of late hits to sort of add on, and that, I think, was critical for them. And they're looking for more of that right now because, generally speaking, they're just, you know, they're not hitting much.
No, they're not. And the one guy who's killing the Giants is Manny Machado, and, of course, hit the three-run homer last night as well. And he's an all-star, and he actually was voted in over Nolan Arenado. I was surprised, but congratulations to him, and I guess the fan base of the Padres got behind it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it was neat. We talked to him yesterday before the game. And, I mean, he he was just so effusive in his praise and his appreciation for this fan base for what they did, because, you know, we all know the Cardinal fans' reputation, and, you know, that's a pretty good geographical footprint they've got there. And to be able to sort of win that vote, I think, you know, really speaks volumes to what Manny has been able to do this season. You know, it's funny because obviously you look at all the numbers and you kind of dive into everything before the series begins. And I'm looking at the Giants and I'm looking at the Padres offensively, and I'm thinking, man, it's almost the exact same thing going on right now for the Giants and the Padres, with one exception. And the exception is Manny Machado. You know, it's almost like, you know, everybody else is doing the same thing on the two sides, but the Padres have that edge because they have Manny Machado. And, I mean, that's been literally the difference, I think, in the first two games of this series.
The other one is Grisham. And, of course, he had a big bunt, and Harleen Garcia tried to go to third, and there was no play, and Grisham beat it out. And then, of course, Alfaro wins the game in extra innings. But, wow, Taysom, you know, Grisham can bunt. He's probably one of the best in baseball right now at bunting.
Oh, there's no question about it. He had another big one against the Giants in the Rodon game against Musgrove back in May at Oracle Park.
So the squeeze, wasn't it?
The squeeze, that ended up being the difference in the game out towards second base. So, yeah, we've seen it a bunch from him. Look, the batting average is, you know, sub 200 right now for Trent, but yeah, you said it. I think he's got as good a bat control, especially when it comes to bunting, of anybody in baseball. So you always got to be aware of it, and that was a pretty good one, you know, the other night. And like you said, Garcia's decision-making, I think, probably hurt him a little bit there.
We had David Schoenfield on from ESPN, and he wrote a great column. I don't know if you saw it earlier in the week, about potential trades and players that a team would need or would trade. And for the Padres, he had Josh Bell, which would be interesting because I'm not sure where you'd put him because you got Hosmer to deal with. But Luke Voit, are you happy with Luke Voit? And also, can you bring in a Josh Bell and bench Hosmer?
I don't know. You know, having those three guys on the roster, there's a lot of overlapping skill set there. And obviously with the DH, you know, you can get a little bit more creative than in the past in the National League. And maybe you go to a platoon situation. Hosmer, of course, a left-handed hitter. Voit's a right-handed hitter. But, you know, Hosmer hits lefties this year, I think, better than any other left-handed hitter in baseball. So I don't know if it's that easy of a thing to do. They need some pop. You know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Probably, ideally, you'd find an outfielder with pop. You know, tonight the Padres have their three starting outfielders batting 7, 8, 9. Now, obviously, injury is part of that. You know, you don't have your usual guys out there. Profar had been their main leadoff hitter. He had that scary collision the other night. He's going to be out for about a week. And in right field, Will Myers has been on the IL. So, you know, they expect to get guys back. Tatis could very well end up playing some outfield when he returns from his broken wrist, which should be sooner rather than later. So they'll have some reinforcements coming. But, you know, I think in an ideal world or in a vacuum, they would be looking for an outfielder with pop. But, of course, you know, the trade deadline can get chaotic and crazy, I think, particularly with this general manager. He loves to wheel and deal. You know, he's right up there with Jerry DePoto in terms of, you know, just being a trade maniac. And it's always fun around deadline time because you never have any idea how much he's going to be able to try and pull off.
I love it. I think it's exciting, and I think the Giants need a little bit of that, you know, to jolt the team a little bit, and I think that's good. How's Bob Melvin doing? And I got to speak with him and Ryan Christensen, who I know from the A's days when he first broke in as a player. I've got to see him and chat with him a little bit, too. But what a difference with Bo Mel, as we like to call him, and Ryan Christensen kind of running the show here.
Oh, both of them. I mean, they're just wonderful, wonderful people. And Bob has such a handle on this job and everything that it entails. And I mean that in every way. I mean it in the way he deals with the players and the way he manages a game and the way he manages the pitching staff and the way he manages the media, even in the way, you know, we'll have small talk every once in a while. You can just tell he's always thinking. He's always aware. He's so cognizant of, it seems like, every single thing he needs to be cognizant of when he's making decisions that he has to make. He's incredibly impressive. You know, my first year and a half here with the Padres was kind of the tail end of the Bud Black era, and you got the same kind of sense from Buddy. He just sort of fully grasped what it meant to be a major league manager. And the two guys that the Padres have had in between Bud Black and Bob Melvin, they just hadn't done it before. And so I think, you know, there was a lot of learning on the fly, and that was part of the deal when you bring in young guys. And I think we all knew that going in. But to be back with someone who has done it as long as Bob has done it, who has done it as successfully as Bob has done it, you really are kind of witnessing a guy, you know, paint a masterpiece in terms of how to handle that role.
Yeah, he looks good in the dugout. He looks like he's in command. I always respect him. Jesse Agler is with us, of course. Great to talk Padre baseball and just baseball in general with you. The bullpen, I see Lament is back today, and Stammen went on the injured list. And then we saw Garcia the other day, and Hill was warming up, and Rogers came in and couldn't get the save. What's the state of the Padre bullpen? Are you comfortable with it?
I'll be more comfortable with it, you know, hopefully in a few weeks. Yeah, Drew Pomerantz coming back is a really big one for this team, and probably sometime after him, Pierce Johnson returning. So a couple of former Giants to talk about. And, you know, those are two guys that I think were expected to be really big parts of this. And Johnson pitched a little bit at the beginning of the season. He was a critical part of the bullpen last year. Pomerantz hasn't pitched yet this year. He had flexor tendon surgery over the offseason, and he's probably a little bit closer to returning than Johnson. But you get those two guys back. You get Rogers, you know, back. He has a bumpy one every now and then, and then he seems to kind of get himself straightened out. It'll be interesting to see what Lament has here. You know, he spent quite a bit of time at AAA. I'm probably as curious to see him pitch the next couple of times, whenever that is, than I have been to see anybody all year long. Because when Denelson Lament is healthy and right, I mean, his stuff is as good as anybody. It's closer stuff. You know, he's a guy I've always kind of pulled for and enjoyed watching. So, you know, we'll see. And then that's, of course, without even mentioning the trade deadline is, as we know, I mean, the volatility of relief arms in general and sort of the nature of bullpens and, you know, between now and August 9th, a month from today, it could be a very different looking group out there for the Padres, certainly.
You feel the Padres are a solid lock to be a playoff team. And look, the second half last year, the roof fell in, but you explained why, really. But what about this year? Do you feel they're a solid playoff team?
I do. You know, and that's, of course, an easy way to sound foolish. In a couple of months, things go sideways again. And I probably felt very similar last year right now as I do, you know, today. But, the starting pitching is just exponentially better than it was last year. And more importantly, or just as importantly, I guess, they've just worked deeper generally than they did last year. They've allowed Bob Melvin to send them out for the sixth and the seventh inning with regularity, which means, unlike last year, the bullpen hasn't been torched. You know, the bullpen always kind of felt like it was being stretched and stretched and stretched in 2021, and eventually the rubber band snapped, and it was kind of goodnight Irene when that happened. So, you know, they're much more well set up for that. Again, you know, they are where they are, kind of solidly in second place in the division, without Fernando Tatis Jr. having played a single inning. He hasn't taken an at-bat yet this year. Now, is he going to be the same Tatis when he comes back from a broken wrist that, you know, we saw put up MVP-type numbers, you know, the last couple of years? I don't know. I really don't, coming back from a pretty serious injury like that. But I still know he's going to be one of the best players on the team no matter what. And so I think, you know, they're in a really good position. Are there things that need to be addressed between now and the deadline? Absolutely. Is this the finished product? Of course not. But, yes, I do think they're a postseason team.
Yeah, you're singing my song about the bullpen. That's been my song about the Giants here the whole first half of the season, is that you did a very good image for me, snapping like a rubber band. And we've got McGee being DFA today. Marte is back. Littell all of a sudden has an oblique injury. They've got bullpen guys coming in and out all year long. So, yeah, I agree with you. It's a big deal, and I've said it before. Give me 6 1/3. Just get me into that seventh inning, and then I could take it from there. But you get out of there at that fifth inning with 4 innings needed from the bullpen. You're asking a lot. Jess, before we wrap it up with you, very quickly here, about last 30 seconds, Mackenzie Gore tomorrow, the velo is down. How's he doing?
It's been back up a little bit. It kind of dips at times. I don't know if it's strictly a mechanical thing, but there's sometimes, you know, he can kind of get himself a little bit off. He's a young guy learning on the fly. He's looked like he's belonged more often than not. I'm very bullish on him. Is he going through the usual stuff that rookies go through at times? Absolutely. But I think that's okay. You know, they've got the sort of depth to be able to cushion him and cushion the whole situation. So I don't know what it looks like the whole rest of the year for him. I think they'll have to be a little bit careful with his workload. But I'm a big fan, and it's been fun watching him pitch this year.
What, terrific. Jess, great having you on. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for doing that. Thank you. Thank you. All right, that is Jesse Agler. He covers the Padres. Well, it was a lot of fun to listen to that broadcast of Jess and Tony Gwynn Jr.